drastically every day as we face the worldwide impact of COVID-19. More than ever, we need to be reminded to lift our eyes to the Lord, who alone remains constant. Join now Pastor Silas Colner from Calvary Chapel Cape Cod for this Thursday night live broadcast. We pray you are encouraged tonight by the unchanging truths found in God's Word. If you have a question or a prayer request, you can call in at 508-901-9673. Again, that's 508-901-9673. Now let's join Pastor Silas Colner.
Good evening, everyone. This is Pastor Silas Colner of Calvary Chapel of Cape Cod in Sandwich, Massachusetts. And we are excited to be with you again tonight. And we are on Thursday nights. You know, we're broadcasting live from here on Cape Cod. And we have been going through the Psalms. And I've got Pastor Forrest here again with me and Pastor Seth.
Hey, hey.
Say hello, Pastor Forrest. Say hello, Pastor Seth. Make sure they hear that you're here.
They can hear us, I think.
How you doing, everyone?
Yes, so we are here. So once again, that phone number is 508-901-9673. And you can text that number and we can look at your questions or you can call in. We'll open up the lines at some point. You can call in, you know, at any time if you want to just leave a message and we'll look at the message and address it, or wait till we give you a cue to call in and then you can call in. And if all of a sudden you hear a click and you don't hear a voice, that means we've answered. Just hold tight, and we will pick up. We just have you on hold for a minute till we get to a nice breaking point to get you on the air. So tonight we're going through Psalm 27, and it's another Psalm of David. And, you know, one of the things that I really appreciate about the Psalms is the Psalms are very true to reality, the world we live in. They don't sugarcoat the world. They don't present the world as a happy, beautiful, wonderful place all the time, do they, Seth?
No, they don't. They're pretty honest and raw.
They're very honest and raw. And they have very honest and raw human beings dealing with a very honest and raw world that we live in. And yet we learn so much from the Psalms of how to engage with our Creator, with Jesus Christ, in the midst of difficult times. I read this quote this week in getting ready for tonight. It says this: I think that taking life seriously means whatever a man does on this planet has to be done in the lived truth of the terror of creation, of the grotesque, of the rumble of panic underneath everything. Otherwise, it is false. And that's one of the things I love about this scripture, is it lets us look at the world through the lens, I believe, of truth and reality, and the difficulties and the terrors, the grotesqueness of it, the rumble of panic that's always underneath. And yet at the same time, we can walk through with security, strength, stability, courage, and hope. And that's what we find in the scriptures, and that's what we find in our God, in our Creator. And so, Seth, would you please read Psalm 27 through for us? It's 14 verses, and we'll start to make our way through. And then after that, we'll take some prayer requests and take some phone calls.
Sure. Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret place of his tabernacle he shall hide me, he shall set me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, will I seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So, yeah, once again, this is a Psalm of David. And, you know, but remember last week we were in Psalm 34, and we were in a moment of David's life where, what was he on? He was on the run, right? And, you know, thinking about it, this was a pretty common experience of David. Being on the run, being in the wilderness, being in a situation where things were stacked against him.
Especially at first.
Go ahead, talk about that for us.
I was going to say, especially at first, when God had anointed him through the prophet, he ended up not being king right away, obviously. And it took some time for him to actually be installed. And at the whole time, Saul knew he was the next guy, but he didn't want him to be the next guy. So he was always being chased and harassed and picked on for many years until finally the Lord saw him and made him ruler over the nation of Israel.
Yeah, what's fascinating about David is we see him in the wilderness on the run as a young guy even before king. Before becoming king, he becomes king, and we sense a little bit of stability in his life. But then when he's an old king, there's a little bit of a coup d'etat by one of his sons, Absalom. Remember that? And then David finds himself where? On the run. Finds himself on the run again.
On the run again. I don't know if they had that song. But some think that maybe this psalm was when he was an older fellow. They argue about that, though.
We don't know for sure, but we definitely see that he's in a difficult spot. And I think one of the things about whether it happens, whether you're young or old, and it's not even clear in this psalm whether what phase of life he's in, is because at any phase of life we can find ourselves in a situation where, you know what, the circumstances right now make me want to be on the run because there's something, the circumstances are, like I said, against me. They're after me. They're difficult. They're hard. They're not easy. They involve pain and suffering, whether it's physical or emotional or social or whatever it may be, we find ourselves in these difficult situations. So once again, if you're just joining us right now, I'm Pastor Silas, Calvary Chapel, Cape Cod. I got Pastor Forrest and Pastor Seth. We're all from Calvary Chapel, Cape Cod, pastors down here on the Cape. And we are going through Psalm 27 tonight. And we're going to make our way through in just a couple minutes. We'll take your phone calls. You can send in a text anytime you want, 508-901-9673, and call in. And we're just going to do a few more minutes here of talking about this Psalm 27, and then we'll take your calls. And you can always leave a message. Remember, you might get put on hold. Pastor Forrest, you want to read verses 1 through 4, and let's start to make our way through Psalm 27.
Read it or sing it. There's like three different songs in this psalm that I grew up with anyway in my Christianity. So, verse 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the refuge and the fortress of my life. Whom shall I dread? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and my enemies, they stumbled and fell. So, obviously, it must have been when he was older, because he's reflecting on some of the times in his life when he was in a tough spot. And God delivered him. I mean, why would he say, whom shall I fear? If the Lord is the light of my life, if I've placed him first, then why would I be afraid of anything else? What's the scripture that says, don't be afraid of somebody that could end your life. Be afraid of the one that could judge your soul.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Pretty intense. One of the things that that I love about the way this psalm starts off is this psalm starts off very strong. You know, I think before we kind of saw it, you know, last week with Psalm 34, there was kind of a build up to the experience of the Lord. And now this one starts off with a high level of confidence. Psalm of confidence is how this psalm kicks off. Like you said, just said, Pastor Forrest, there's a fearlessness there. And and he's declaring, the Lord is my light and my salvation, right up front. When he is my light and he's my salvation, whom shall I fear? He's my strength. He's the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked come against me?
Oh, it doesn't say you're avoiding wickedness.
No.
It doesn't say everything's got to be roses.
Yeah, and that's a great point, Pastor Forrest, because that's what I was thinking about is, you know, a lot of people, I think they get sold a bag of goods when it comes to Christianity. And that bag of goods is that when you become a Christian, then nothing bad will happen to you. And then, so what that happens is, you know, people, oh yeah, that's what I want. I want nothing bad to happen to me. If I become a Christian, that means I won't get terminally ill. If I become sick, does that mean I won't get fired from my job? If I become sick, does that mean I won't, you know, be in financial straits?
Right.
If I become a Christian, does that mean I won't have problems in my marriage or struggle raising my kids? You know, and they can grab into this false understanding of these kind of psalms, and or even Romans 8:28, for all things work together for good to those who love him and are called according to his purposes. That's a true promise. This psalm leads to a very true promise that God will take care of us. We can trust him. We can live without fear. But it doesn't mean we're going to be absolved of suffering. It doesn't mean we're going to be absolved of difficult circumstances. It doesn't mean we're going to be absolved of, quote, bad things happening to us. And we see that right here. What did we see? We see, whom shall I be afraid when the wicked come against me? When my enemies and foes are there to eat up my flesh, though an army encamp around me. That's in the midst of these things, David is sharing. I don't have lack of fear because they don't exist, but in their existence, I actually still have a fearlessness and a courage. Seth, you got anything to comment on that?
Well, I think about Jesus, what he said, right? I mean, you made a statement that there are folks that would tell you that if you become a Christian, everything's going to be rosy. And those are just false statements. The key word you said there was false. Jesus himself said, in the world there will be troubles. They're going to send you out as sheep among wolves. He didn't say, I'm going to send you out as sheep among sheep. There's something to be just aware of there, that there's going to be...
He did say, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world.
Amen. He did, that's right.
That's where that focus is.
He said, I'll be with you until the very end. One of the things in this psalm that I also love, Silas, you already pointed out this, is that how it starts off. There's a lot of psalms where David writes, and he starts out grieving, he's depressed, he's fearful, and as he's preaching and to himself, you see his heart lifting up the Lord, and as his heart lifts up the Lord, he gains this joy. But here he starts off immediately, the Lord is my light and my salvation. I think there's something to be said here. A couple of things to kind of begin with this psalm is that David is aware of God's presence. He's aware of God's presence, and that's why he doesn't have fear. It made me think of, I was on the way over here, it made me think of that, you know, you've seen that picture of the little baby bear, you know, about to be attacked by a giant jaguar, and the baby bear kind of curls up and pulls up on his hind legs and lets out this tiny little meekish growl, and the jaguar turns around and runs away, and the scene pans back, and who do you see behind the baby bear?
Baby's mom.
Baby mama, right? Yeah. That's right. Because in God's presence, he's like our great daddy. We don't have to be afraid. And the antidote to fear is faith. And we're going to see some great faith that David had. But his faith was founded on truth, on reason, and on the Lord himself.
So it's interesting here. So the scene that we're seeing is that David has this incredible confidence. Even in the end of verse 3, it says, in this I will be confident. So he's sharing, I've got all these circumstances that are against me, yet I'm not going to be afraid. I'm not going to be fearful. I'm not going to have anxiety. In fact, in these difficult circumstances, even though war may rise up against me, in this I will be confident. And I love how he distills it down. We already read verse 4, correct?
Well, we got the whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
No,
we
read four.
No, we have not.
We haven't read
no.
four?
No.
Oh.
No.
All right, so I can't wait to get to four, but it's time to see if anybody wants to give a phone call in. So now's the time. If you got a text message or a phone call, Looks like we got some text messages coming in. And first one here. Well, it's just a comment here that COVID is like the wicked enemy right now. Isn't that a good analogy to this this person that's texting in? Thank you for that analogy. That, you know, if as far as, you know, maybe helping us connect the people who are listening to the whole situation.
Yeah, you could say that's the war against us.
That's the war against us.
The president said secret war.
That's the war against us. The enemy that wants to devour us, if you will, at this time. Now, here's a bit more of, you know, not quite sure what it's got to do with the Bible, but we'll throw it out there anyways. I'm curious what Seth thinks. So how do you guys feel about Gronk joining Brady in Tampa Bay?
That was a text. Well, they're on lockdown, so time will tell.
Since you asked, I think it's great.
You think it's great?
I do.
I don't know.
I got to be honest. All right, you brought it up. I have been praying for Tom Brady. Tom, if you're listening, I have been praying for him for the last 15 years, and Bill Belichick, that they would get saved, that they would come to know Jesus. You know, Brady did say one time, he says, you know, I've got all these Super Bowl rings. And I thought to myself at that point, I've got 4 rings. There's got to be more to life than this.
Now he's getting it.
He told that story. He said, yeah, I got a litany of Bibles after that. Everybody was sending me Bibles in the mail.
They care about them, sure.
That's right.
Oh, my goodness. I don't know, but I felt deflated, and that was a deflate gate. Well, we need to move on. So why don't we just take a moment to pray? We do have a prayer here. Please pray for people in elderly facilities. Yeah. My friend's mom is healthy, but death and 30 confirmed COVID cases are happening in the facility at the moment. Seth, you want to pray, please?
Yeah, Lord, we lift this up to you and this person's prayer and their heart for their mom, Lord. And God, for all those across the Cape and across the world that are elderly, that are in facilities, that they can't escape, they can't go anywhere. I think of the nursing home in Brewster that has 60 out of 90 people are confirmed positive for COVID. Lord, would you be with them? Would you speak to them? Reach out to the hearts of those that are fearful, that are lonely, that are scared, Lord Jesus. And Lord, when they hear from you, may they not fear, though war may rise against them. Lord, we desire that people would be healthy and would get through this physically well, but Lord, you're more concerned with eternity and your kingdom. So, Lord, I pray that not one person, Lord, I can pray this, Lord. You said we can pray. Lord, not one person would pass without coming to the knowledge of who you are and accepting you for their great and wonderful daddy, their father, their savior. In your name we pray, Lord. Amen.
Yeah, dear Lord, and I just think that, you know, we didn't open up with prayer, and that I'm sorry about that. And Lord, I do pray that you would be with us tonight as we go through your word, and that you would speak to all of our hearts and help us to be faithful and true to your word. And Lord, I pray that we'd be an encouragement to people who are listening tonight, that you'd open up their hearts to see you clearly, Lord, to see your beauty, to have a gaze upon you in the midst of the enemy around them. The struggle they're in, the difficulty they're in, whatever crisis they may be in right now, Lord. Many are losing their jobs, Lord, and many are isolated from family and finding it very difficult, very lonely, very sad. And Lord, I pray, you know, they are in a hard situation. There is a rumble of panic all around. And Lord, you want to invade their lives with your love. You want to invade their lives with your beauty so that no matter what is going on around them, Lord, you can do a work in their soul that gives them life and gives them light and even brings them to a place where they could sing a song to you, Jesus, because of how beautiful you are. So, Lord, help us to learn of how beautiful you are from David, and may that touch and change our hearts for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So, once again, if you have any prayer requests, please let us know. And you can text us or call us, 508-901-9673. And we'll pick up your phone call to answer your question as best we can, or pray for you, or whatever you would like prayed for. So moving on, I'm on the edge with verse 4. Verse 4 says, "One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock." So what I am so excited about here is I love things that are simple. And things that are simple is when you can get it down to one thing. Mm-hmm. When you can make something down to, hey, what do you need to do? One thing. All right, that doesn't require much memory. I don't have to remember this step, that step. Go. You ever someone give you directions like go a quarter mile there, take a left, and then go half a mile that way, take a right, and then at the mailbox do this. And you know, I'm lost at the first left. If it was a left, I might have said right. I can't even remember. But right. When it's one thing that where David we see says David has is the circumstances are fearful. He is confident without fear. He's got a courageous heart. And he says, in this will I be confident. And what is it? It's one thing. And that is to desire the Lord and to seek to dwell in the house of the Lord. And to do that and see what? The beauty of the Lord.
I especially like
his go ahead, Forrest.
Prayer about one thing I have asked the Lord. And some of us, we don't know where to begin, especially those that aren't familiar with God's presence. And then they find themselves in a spot. And it's perfectly good and all right, even if you feel like you're not worthy to seek the Lord. Again, it's not your worthiness that you have to rely on, but it's His. Mm. And He is faithful in all situations. So if you can pray yourself, Lord, give me the desire to seek you, then he will answer that little prayer, which will open up a whole new world for you. And you'll begin to sense the presence of God around you just from that one prayer. And any reason's a good reason, whether you're in trouble from this COVID or whether you made a mistake, a bad choice. If you humble yourself before the Lord and you ask, God, give me a desire to follow you, and he'll answer that prayer right away. So I love David. One thing I have that I will seek. And then the next step is, well, to dwell. Obviously, to dwell means you have to spend some time there. To come to his house and to be in his presence. And trust me, you will find relief in the house of the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that, Forrest. I love, like, see, there's this wonderful thing going on here where he says, it's this relationship with God that I get to experience in his presence. And that is the one thing. It's like a promise. God's got a promise. You are in a scary situation. You are in over your head. You are in a situation where death could be imminent. And he says, I promise you this. Humble yourself. Seek to be in my presence in a relational way. And what's he going to do? He says, he's going to hide me in the pavilion. He's going to invite me in. He's going to bring me in. He's going to wrap his arms around me. And there's going to be an experience of the beauty of God in that time of trouble. Seth, any thoughts?
It just makes me think of that song, "Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere." And that whenever I hear that song, I remember hearing that song when I first got saved, and it brought me to tears every time because it resonated as absolutely true. Lord, I've had even a thousand of the most fun, exciting, thrilling days without you were nothing and pale in comparison to even the worst day that I've ever had with the Lord. Better is one day with him than a thousand elsewhere. Why? Because one day with him, I get to behold his beauty, and his beauty is Jesus. It's Jesus on the cross, his love for me, his resurrection, and what he's done for me. It's absolutely amazing that we can dwell in the presence of God in the midst of our fear, in the midst of our worries, in the midst of even our sinful nature and our frailties. God says, you can be with me. I like what you said, Silas, too. It's a relational thing. This isn't about whether or not you've checked off all the boxes and done the right thing today or not. Yes, there's an essence where we have to humble ourselves and admit that we've been wrong and turn away, repent from our sin. But God says, I love you just the way you are. Come into my presence, and I'll be with you.
Yeah, better is one day in your course than thousands elsewhere. As soon as you said that, Seth, my mind started to sing it, yes. And I don't dare sing it on radio. But
thank you.
No arguments there. But my heart and flesh cry out for you, the living God, and to my heart and flesh they cry out to be in the presence of the Lord. And I think one of the key things here is to see the beauty of the Lord. That's where the heart changes. That's where the heart is transformed. See, there's an interesting thing here is you can seek the Lord religiously or you can seek the Lord relationally. Mm-hmm. And there's a huge difference because the religious person seeks God in a way where they're trying to get something from God that they desire. Whether it's acceptance or, you know, I'm going to seek God. I'm going to do all of the right things. I'm going to do all of the religious requirements. I'm going to do all of the things that I've learned that I'm told I'm supposed to do as a Christian because I want to be free from suffering. I want to have guarantee of a good relationship with such and such and somebody, whether it's my kids or my wife or my family. They're still seeking their own end. And the difference that David has is he's not seeking his own end. There's no place in there where it says, where he's saying, Lord, get me out of this situation. Lord, fix this. He just says, the one thing I do is I go in and seek to be in his presence and see his beauty. Because what did he want more than anything? The one thing he centered his life on was to see the beauty of God. And that is... What are you trying to get? What was he trying to get out of that? Not something in return. He was just trying to get God himself.
That's right.
And when I don't know about you, but I find one of the common threads of people that I meet that are courageous, that are strong, that are people that I admire their walk with the Lord, I see in them that they're never trying to get something from God, but they have such a huge adoration for the Lord. They are just in love with Jesus. And what do they want more than anything? They just want to see the beauty of Jesus Christ.
And isn't that basically what the world wants, is the peace and what the Lord's going to bring, especially when he returns. It's going to reestablish, or renew, I should say, the earth and everything that was originally intended for us here on earth before sin entered the world. But as far as God's beauty goes, Isaiah 52:7, how lovely on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news. So how do you see the beauty of the Lord unless you're looking for it?
Yeah.
Now, too often our natural sinful nature is to see all the problems and the wickedness. And we have to train ourselves to find those beautiful things in our lives, even the smallest. We learn to have a thankful heart. We'll begin to see the small and then eventually the larger things that God can do in our lives.
Seth, you're about to say something, I thought. No? All right. He's giving me the... Nope, not now. So the... think about that. And, man, when you start to find that when you start to find the beauty of the Lord, and there's that just being in his presence and that beauty happens in your life and that you experience that satisfaction, what happens? The things of the world grow strangely dim, don't they? Yeah. Because those were the things that you, the beauty you were after is Christ. yet you thought you would find that beauty in something else.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then what happens? It's the expulsive power of a greater beauty. And so when you start to experience the beauty of Jesus Christ, then those other beauties that aren't nearly as beautiful as Jesus, they start to get expelled from your heart, and he starts to overtake your heart. I think to find something beautiful, it has multiple kind of facets to it. For one, I think it's to find it excellent, to see that Jesus is the most excellent one. Also, to find it attractive, but also, thirdly, to perceive something as beautiful is that it just... there's a pleasure in the satisfaction that you experience in that place, in the presence of God when you are experiencing him. And later on, we're going to see we were in his face. And we talked about this, I think, before. The face is the communication aspect of two people. Like, you ever been at odds with somebody and you walk in the room? What are you trying to do? Avoid
their face.
Face-to-face. You avoid contact,
right.
Eye contact.
If you're the one starting.
Right. I know I'm getting a little bit ahead of us. But you avoid contact. You don't want to have the face-to-face. And yet here David is saying, I want to have face-to-face contact with the Lord. I'm getting ahead of myself.
Yeah, well, the Amplified says, to gaze upon the beauty, the delightful loveliness and the majestic grandeur of the Lord, and to meditate in his temple. So that further announces or pronounces the what you were trying to describe there.
You can
go
see
ahead,
what happens with David here is he's grown in his relationship with the Lord when he says, one thing I have desired. I know I'm backtracking.
It's fine.
But he says, one thing I have desired. He's narrowed it down. Those things that we talked about, like I thought I would find this great joy or this happiness or this pleasure and have a satisfied life if I only had enough money for the year, if I only had the wife or the car, or if I only had,
four Super Bowl rings.
Or six Super Bowl rings. And,
right. Yeah.
And David says, it's one thing I desire. You know, he says, I know, Lord, you are going to quell my fears, not because you're going to solve the problem, but because your presence is with me. And this draws me back to Kyle Forgeron from our worship leader has been telling me, we keep going over this verse a lot, Seth. I hear it a lot, but I'm going to bring it up. And that's in Psalm 16:11. It says, in your presence is the fullness of joy. Psalm 16:11. Mm-hmm. And there's something so beautiful about that, because it's in the presence of Jesus himself is the fullness of joy. Regardless of what's going on, what kind of whirlwind might be happening in or around me, it's in God's presence that the fullness... Isn't that why we ask, help me to not be in pain, not have sorrow, not have grief, because I want to have joy. What a place it is that we can come to, that even in the midst of grief and difficulty and pain, we can find the fullness of joy by looking into the eyes of Jesus.
Amen, amen. Hey, if you're just tuning in, this is Pastor Silas Colner with Pastor Forrest Farrell and Pastor Seth Campo. We are of Calvary Chapel of Cape Cod, down in Sandwich and Yarmouth, Massachusetts. And we are currently going through Psalm 27. And if you have a prayer request or a question about the Bible, you know, please, you can call in 508-901-9673 or text us, whatever you're more comfortable with. And if you call in, we'll answer, get right to it, to get to your prayer request or question, whatever you may have. So 508-901-9673 to join us online or on the air tonight. It goes on to say in verse 6, and now my head shall be lifted above my enemies all around me. Therefore, I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing. Yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hey, Seth, that kind of sounds a little bit like what you just shared from Psalm 16.
It does.
And there's fullness of joy. And David gets to this point. One thing I seek after, that I may dwell in his presence, that I may see his beauty. He will embrace me relationally, and then what's going to happen? My head will be lifted high. What does that mean? Head lifted high.
Well, I know when I'm down, my head's drooping. I'm a woe is me, kind of kicking the rocks.
But I know when there's trouble, you know, when I see trouble coming ahead, I lift my head up to the trouble a little bit. Kind of like Moses and the crew, when Pharaoh was coming against them, they looked up on the cliff, and they saw Pharaoh coming against them. But Moses lifted his eyes even higher, above his troubles, above his problems.
Yeah, and remember, the context here is the enemies. To have your head lifted above the enemies, that puts you in a place where, as much as they're trying to put you in a state of fear, David's saying, it's not working. It's not working. You know, and as, you know, I don't know, there's just so much going on out there. And I think there is a lot through just all avenues of information these days. There's so many avenues of information that come into our phones, come into our computers, come into our TVs, come over our radio waves. And they are, intentionally or not, in many ways producing fear.
Right. Yep.
They're causing fear. And that fear puts us in a state of anxiety and puts us in a state where, you know, like I said, some of us want to run. Some of us want to just curl up in a ball and die. And that both of those are exactly opposite of what David is doing.
Right.
He doesn't go on the run. He doesn't curl up in a ball in a fetal position.
Doesn't try to fight.
He just does one thing. He seeks the face of the Lord, the presence of the Lord, a relationship with the Lord, the embrace of the Lord. And then he finds himself where he's above his enemy. This is a victory thing. I think this is a statement of victory over the manipulation caused by fear.
That's right. The Apostle Paul in the New Testament kind of expresses the same thought. Philippians 3:10. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. You're like, whoa, that doesn't sound like the prosperity.
Right.
Doesn't sound like roses to me. But notice it's the power of the resurrection that certainly lifts your head above all your enemies, because Christ overcame the number one enemy, which is death.
Amen. You know, so I'd like to talk about this, guys, at this point, where we're at. So we're sharing. There's a promise, I think, declared here by David, and that promise is, if you seek the face of the Lord, if you seek to be in his presence, it's going to have an impact on your heart where you see his beauty and it causes you to live differently. Live a life of victory, we would call it. A victory in where there's still an enemy in your life. So what are things that we can do to do that, to get into the presence of the Lord, to actually see his beauty? What are things that we can actually engage in, practice in, and do to experience seeing the beauty of the Lord?
Well, David shared, pray that desire comes.
Ah.
Okay. Which is kind of baby steps, really.
Yeah.
You know, you may not have the desire, but certainly when we get into tight spots, that desire seems to crawl into our life. I've got nowhere to turn, so you cry out to God. It's a good place to be. And the second, David basically is getting all of this from the Word of God.
Yeah.
So I would say time to crack the Bible.
Yeah, right on. Any thoughts, Seth?
Yeah, you know, the last a week ago, I had somebody, a guy that doesn't believe in the Lord yet, asked me about my faith, and we were talking back and forth. He said, you know, I've tried to believe. I've even heard some of the things in the Bible that resonate to be true, but I just don't believe. What did you do to believe? And I'll be honest, I sat there, I thought about it, I'm like, I don't know what I did to believe. But I can tell you what helped me to believe even more. There was a desperation in my heart. There was a desire. There was this lack. I knew there was something more I needed in life. And when I found that it was Jesus, what helped me believe, it was a simple response, you're going to say, but was to read the Word, right? Faith comes by hearing, and by hearing the Word of God. He already said that. I've heard some things about the Bible. They resonate as true, but I'm just not sure yet.
I know pride can keep me from believing. So humility would be a good step.
Yeah, humility is a great step. So I think we're on to something here. And I think that is to crack open your Bible, right? And crack it open with a humble heart.
Mm.
And then allow the Spirit of God through the Word of God give you revelation of the beauty of Jesus Christ. Psalm 1, it tells us what? A godly man delights in the law of the Lord and he meditates on it day and night. And we've learned over the years of Bible teaching, what does that meditate like? That meditates like chewing the cud.
Yeah.
You know, it's you chomp on it and you regurgitate it and you chomp on it and you bring it back up and you chomp on it and you keep trying to see the Lord in it. And, you know, one of the things that I, you know, is I remember when I first got saved I can't explain why it ever happened, but somehow I ended up in children's church, teaching children's church, and I barely knew Jesus. And I remember getting but I knew him. And for some reason at that point that qualified me to teach those kids. But I remember a lot of those kids knew more Bible than me. You know, and I remember just a young Christian. I remember, man, I don't even know what these kids will bring up Bible stories. And I didn't even know what they were talking about. And
And
I remember like screaming through the Bible the first time. But I read it purely informationally.
Okay.
You know, it was just like I made it through. But I didn't in that exercise. It wasn't a bad exercise.
No, okay.
It was a good exercise. But in that exercise, it wasn't an experiencing beauty exercise because I was just reading for information. Now, what happens as I continue to walk with the Lord, then I learn that there's an opportunity to be in God's Word where it's not just informative, but it's formative.
Transforming.
Yeah, it actually does a transformation work in my heart.
And I feel like any reason is a good reason. You know, if you're motivated for any reason to read the Word, it doesn't return void. If you're afraid of God and you want to know Him so He won't clock you one, that's not a good reason, but that's a reason to read the Word of God.
Right. Well, I guess what I'm trying to say is, especially for those you've been, you know, we find ourselves right now, I think, with a grand opportunity. And we can let a lot of the message of the world get in to our minds, and it's stirring up fear. It's stirring up anxiety.
Yeah.
It's causing confusion. It's really, and then you can dwell on those things.
It can cripple you.
And it can really cripple you. Sure. It can really put you in a state of depression or panic or despair. And with, a lot of us find ourselves with a lot of extra time on our hands right now with this stay in place and with the business closures and such. And I cannot encourage you enough that there is a promise before you that if you seek God, you seek to be in His presence, you seek to see His beauty, He will do a transformative work in your heart. But the way that I would suggest doing it is, as Forrest said, prayer, but be in the Word where you're letting the Word, rather than it work you by the Spirit of God. Where you start to say, Lord, I want to see Your beauty in this. I want to understand something of Your majesty, of Your power, of Your might, of Your greatness, of Your splendor. I want to understand something of Your wisdom, Your artistry, Your design. I want to understand something of Your grace, of Your patience, of Your mercy, of Your kindness. See, these are the things that are the beautiful, beautiful, beautiful things of Jesus. And start to get in God's Word, and you've got time on your hands.
Well, Colossians says, set your mind on the things above, right? Not on things of this earth. For you died, and your life is hid in Christ and in God. So when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. So.
Amen.
Yeah, set your mind on things above.
Well, it causes me to think of asking everybody a question that's listening right now. How much time are you spending each day, like many of us have been, how much time are you spending each day watching the news, reading the news, listening to the news, and getting updates? There's nothing wrong with being informed. But
oh, wait a minute. Let me look at my Apple Watch.
How much time have you spent?
He hasn't had an Apple in his life. I had to lend him one.
So how much time you – really, I'm asking you for a reason. Assess your time and how much time you're spending watching the news. Perhaps it's 30, 40 minutes a day. Maybe it's a little bit more. And I want to put out a challenge, like Silas is being a little bit more gentle about this, but I want to put out a challenge. Take half the time that you're spending watching the news and read your Bible. Read your Bible with an open heart. And you know, you've already hit on it, Silas and Forrest. Read it with a heart of humility. Do you know that when you read the Bible, you can ask the Holy Spirit to give you wisdom and knowledge and understanding, and even greater than that, ask the Lord himself, Lord, will you speak to me through your word? Because in reality, he is speaking to you. So take half the time that you're watching the news right now. Just try. If you've never read the Bible before, if you don't even know who the Lord is, I am encouraging you and challenging you, not because I say so, but because the Lord is who he says he is. If he is who he says he is, he will transform your life if you are seeking him for truth. If you're looking to dispute who he is, and if you're looking to prove why he's wrong, he can still work on that. But if you have a humble heart and you're really looking for the truth in the universe and the world, I guarantee you, if you look at the Lord with humility, he will present himself. Guarantee you.
So, Seth, just out of curiosity, for people listening right now, is there a place where you, if they don't know what to do, like say they're saying, you know, wow, I really, this challenge is convicting me. I want to be in God's word more. I want to be in God's word. And Lord, I want to pray into the word with a humble heart. And I want, Lord, would you show your beauty to me through your word? Where would you suggest maybe they start?
I'm going to suggest three places, and I'll put them in the order that I personally would start with. I would start with the book of John. One of the Gospels, the book of John, talks about how wonderful and beautiful Jesus is as God. The book of Mark, maybe I'd go into next. The book of Mark, we're going through that as a church, and it's been wonderful seeing Jesus and the things that he did and the heart he did them with. And okay, the third book that I would go to, we're in it. The book of Psalms. I mean, if you're hurting, if you're desperate, if you're depressed, if you're down, if you're feeling hopeless, guess what? You're in good company. That's the rest of us. That's David who wrote much of the Psalms. Read the book of John. I told Pastor Forrest last week how my dad was challenged to read the book of John 10 times. He read the book of John 10 times, and listen, he got saved. My dad's a wild character. I love you, Dad, if you're listening, by the way. And he is a believer right now. The book of John, the book of Mark, or the book of Psalms. That's where I would start. Or if you wanted to start in Genesis and finish in Revelation.
And it's helpful, too. You want to tune in, seeing how we're having church online every Sunday. Just come to Calvary Chapel, CapeCod.com, and join us. You can see how we teach the Bible line by line, book by book. We don't skip over the hard parts, and we seek for wisdom from the Lord, and it's excellent. And then during the week, we discuss what was preached on Sunday.
Amen.
What was taught.
Mm,
yeah. It's quite the experience. And you get to ask questions in the midweek gatherings.
Yeah. We're doing our midweeks on Zoom, but it's working. I'd much rather be in the presence of the people of the Lord, the family of Christ.
Cooking.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
The dinner before is fantastic. And
yes,
I always look forward to the dessert. I save up all day. Hey, if you're just joining us now on the air, we are Pastor Forrest, Pastor Seth, and Pastor Silas from Calvary Chapel of Cape Cod. We are going through Psalm 27 today. Please call in with your questions or prayer requests at 508-901-9673. You can text us as well, and we will answer. We will pray for those prayer requests, and we'll do the best we can to answer your questions. And going back to that same thing, you know, for us, just, you know, spend some time. I think Renew FM is just a fantastic resource.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
You know, you can
just
tune in. You're tuning in now. Keep tuning in. You know, throughout the day, check in. And I love to hear God's word being taught, and someone share something. And a lot of times, if I'll listen to a teaching, and I'll just pull one thing out of that teaching, and I'll chew on that for a while. And, you know, and I love how the Lord will reveal his beauty to me through that. And then there's also, you know, you can find some just good theologically sound songs that will just really minister to your heart and help you understand the beauty of Jesus. So where are we at? We've got to move on. Man, time's going fast tonight, guys.
Verse
where are
seven.
We at? Seth, can you read 7 through 11?
7 through 11, sure. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies.
Amen. So one of the things that I pick up on this, as we talk about someone, David, who's seeking the Lord, desiring to be in his presence, he knows the promise, what the transformative work it's going to have on his heart. I don't want you to be surprised when you get in his word with a humble heart that, you know what, it takes work still. Mm. You know, so I think we are such a convenient, instantaneous, preconditioned people.
Yeah,
and that's true. The Lord, you know, it's not that he's playing hard to get, but we just have a hard time getting there. Mm. He wants to reveal himself. He wants to, but I find the reason it's hard is because of what's going on in my mind and in my heart, and distractions and thoughts that come in. And I love how here, David, you know, some of the things, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. You know, it's like you can see the wrestle going on. Hear, O Lord, when I cry, hear my voice. You know, he's wrestling to get to see that place, to be in that presence.
God, who made us, I mean, he knows what our greatest need is. And so if he knows our greatest need, it'd be a good idea to get to know him. So seeking his face means to humble yourself and ask the Lord, Lord, show, reveal yourself. And he's faithful to do that. And he'll get through to you no matter what. Like in my case, no matter how thick my skull is, the Lord still got a hold of me and revealed himself. And I often feel the presence of God, especially when I seek him.
Amen. And you notice here that David's fear is changing, right? It's no longer fear of man, fear of people, but he's actually developing a fear of God. He says, do not hide your face from me, nor turn your servant away in anger. David's fear, and I'll say my greatest fear is to ever not be in God's presence. There's no greater fear in my life now than to not be with the Lord. He says, do not hide your face from me. His fear now is giving him wisdom, and the wisdom is that Jesus is beautiful. He's wonderful.
Hey, guys. I shut myself off.
So I had to clear my throat. Got a prayer request here. Just text it in. It says, I have a prayer request for my best friend's family. We recently lost him tragically this November, and yesterday was his birthday, so I'm sure it was very tough on his family, and it was on me. I don't know if they are believers or not, but I just hope in this time of loss that they turn towards the Lord and realize that he called him home for some reason we cannot understand, but that they know he is in good hands. Forrest, would you mind praying for this family?
Lord, we're grateful we can go to you with these, especially when we're reminded of the loss of love. I pray for this family. I pray, God, that you would minister and that the thoughts would be good ones, ones that bring joy, some of the happy times they had together. Lord, it not be, certainly it's surreal, but Lord, that they can look forward to. And if they don't know you, that definitely that you get a hold of their heart and save them so that they can look forward to seeing their loved one in heaven again. So thank you, Lord. For our attention in this matter, and we direct your attention to this family in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You know, one of the things I was thinking about that, you know, also just seeking the beauty of the Lord and wrestling through, I find that a lot of times when you're in that place and you're just, oh, Lord, I want to see your beauty. And sometimes he just gives, and it's because of my heart struggle, right? My trouble is getting my eyes off the other beauties in my life.
Yeah, right.
Right? And once I get my eyes off the other beauties, it allows my eyes of my heart to focus on the beauty of the Lord. So like case in point, you know, talking about all this time on our hands. Yesterday I got caught up looking at, I didn't know that even cars could cost $250,000. And I'm looking at these cars online. Wow. I'm like, honey, let's buy one of these. Yeah, right. But that being said, when you see a glimpse of his beauty, speak it back to him.
Oh, yeah.
Process it in your heart and speak it back. And you know what happens? I find there'll be so many times I see my wife and she's just gorgeous and I see her and then I tell her she's beautiful. Do you know what the effect it has on my heart is? It makes her more beautiful.
Right, yes.
And as we speak the beauties of the Lord back to the Lord, they become clearer and more apparent in our hearts. We are only looking at about 2 minutes left here. And I just want to say, as we get ready to wrap this up, you know, you would embrace this promise that you would seek the Lord, just seek the Lord, seek to be in his presence, seek to see his beauty and let it have a transformative effect on the fears and anxieties that we have in this chaotic world that we live in. It truly is a place where you can find God's embrace. And you can find God's comfort, you can find safety, you can find protection. And how can you know that? And I'll tell you something. He promises, I will never leave you nor forsake you.
Amen. That's right.
It may not feel like he's there. It's just your own issues, my own issues that we got to work through to experience it and know the presence of God. You got something, Seth?
And you don't have to wait. You don't have to wait till you get to heaven to experience God's presence. Psalm 27:13 here says, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. God says he wants to show you his goodness and his beauty right now. And if you're losing heart right now, I want to encourage you to turn your face to Jesus. Turn your face to him and look at him. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord, says David.
So wait on the Lord. That I think is how that's how David wraps it up. He says, this is what I'm going to do. I'm just going to wait on the Lord. I'm going to serve him. I'm going to seek him. I'm going to see his beauty. And that is going to bring me to a place of victorious living against my enemies. Thank you, everyone, for sending in your text prayer request tonight. Thank you for joining us. We look forward to being with you again next Thursday night from 6 to 7, broadcasting here from Cape Cod. And the Lord be with you.
Amen.
You've been listening to Renew FM, and we're so blessed you could join us tonight for our Thursday edition of our live broadcast with Pastor Silas Kohlner. We pray this time encouraged you and helped lift your eyes off the chaos of the COVID-19 crisis and unto Jesus, who remains on his throne and who also is with you right now in this very moment. Join us next time for our live broadcast. You can also call Renew FM at 888-310-PRAY. But most importantly, we want to remind you that you can call on the Lord and receive the encouragement you need from his word at any time. We invite you to join us next time, and until then, good night and God bless you.